Genesis chapter 45, verse number 4. Then Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. The Bible is a book of stories that have to do with hundreds of men and women. And there's one common thread that runs through those stories, and that is God reveals the good and the bad in every one of those people. If I was writing the book, I'd just do the good part. But he didn't spare the heroes. He gave us the good things they did, and he gave us the bad things they did. And not only that, he gave us the major effects that their lives had on the people around them. And he said that these things are written for our admonition, so that we could learn not to do the bad things, learn to do the good things, and to realize that in both cases we have a major effect on the people that are around us. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. He lived for 110 years, and there is no sin attributed to this man in 110 years. God never said anything about this man that he did wrong. God never focused in on some great mistake that this man made. Joseph handled himself in his God-given environment. His parents, you will see as we go through, and I think we're going to be going through a series now on this man, because the more I studied it this week, the more I got into it. And you will see his parents were almost totally dysfunctional. He grew up in an unbelievable situation. And in that situation with his parents, he handled himself in a manner that is an example for every one of us. If you study it carefully, you'll find he handled himself very well for a young man. Dysfunctional parents in a pit. His brother selling him into slavery. In the palace. That's quite a change. And to be able, for a young man, to be able to handle those things is an awesome thing. And then there was Potiphar's wife. And he handled himself great. And then he ended up back in prison because he handled himself that way. And he was totally innocent of the charges. And he still handled himself that way. And then he's back in the palace and he's in charge of the country. He's in charge of everything. He's got everything at his disposal. And he still handled himself in a manner that didn't matter. What the circumstances of life were, Joseph handled himself the way God wanted him to handle himself. It's an amazing thing. Trials and afflictions. He never wavered. His faith in God was always the same, no matter where he was. He's a role model for every Christian. He never wavered, he never fell, he never complained, he never compromised, he never lost his power with God. He stood his grounds for the glory of God in many, many terrible situations. And his life was a demonstration of his faith. Now go back with me and we'll look at just a little bit of background on this in Genesis chapter 28, please. Genesis chapter 28. And here you have the story of Jacob's ladder. Who is Jacob? Jacob is Joseph's father. And he has been scheming his whole life. He's been scheming. As a matter of fact, Jacob's mother and father were complete dysfunctional people as well. You read about Isaac and you read about Rebecca. You read the details on those people. They were schemers. They were liars. They were deceptive. They had a plan on the surface that looked like they wanted to do God's will, when they really spent their lives trying to figure out how to do their own will. Years ago, Frank Sinatra had this great song that he sang, I Did It My Way. Yeah, he did it his way already. Today we're living in an age when I think I can say without any doubt that the majority of people who call themselves born-again, fundamental, independent Baptist Christians want to do it their way, not God's way. And Joseph's grandparents were like that. Joseph's father was like that. All on the surface, oh, we're going to do it God's way. We're doing it all God's way. All you got to do is study the detail a little bit and throw out some of the commentaries that give you the glowing reports of all these people. Just look at what the Bible says. They were despicable examples of what God wanted. And that's the kind of atmosphere that Joseph was in. And when we get to the story about Jacob's ladder, Jacob has already deceived with the help of his wicked mother. They've already deceived an old blind man, his father, into, you know, he covered his arms with hair and pretended he was the other brother, Esau, and they got the birthright out of the old man. The mother and the son deceiving the old man who's blind and couldn't tell any difference. They're not good people. Say, well, that little boy had to do what his mother said. When that story took place, that little boy was 77 years old. This is not some story where he didn't have a brain and he couldn't figure out what God wanted him to do. They were scheming this whole thing. And so as it turned out, you're going to have the blessing and you're going to have to be the guy in charge. How'd that work? Oh, Jacob, says Mommy, you better run because your brother's going to kill you. And if you look at chapter 27 and verse 44, she says, go to my brother. Go to see Laban. He'll help you. And look at 44. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury be turned away. That few days was over 20 years. And that schemer, Jacob, is schemed upon by his uncle, Laban, for 20 years. How's it working out? It's not working out very well. Oh, we'll have it my way, says Rebecca. No, we'll have it my way, says all of them. The whole group back there did that. It turned out pretty bad. So in verse 10 of verse number 28, he's been told to get out of Dodge here. You better get going. You better run because your brother's going to kill you, says Mommy to her 77-year-old son. And verse 10 says, Jacob went out. He went out, yeah, a few days. 20 years of heartache and sorrow and deceit and rebellion and scheming. 20 years. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Now, you know this story, and usually it's told with a different slant you're going to hear today. It says in verse 12, he dreamed. Keep that in mind. This isn't real. This is a dream. He dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, God is using this dream. There's no doubt about that, but it is a dream. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God. And you remember when you see capital L-O-R-G and the word God following like that in the Old Testament, it's always Jesus. It's Christ. He said, I am the Lord God. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now keep in mind, he's laying on the ground. He's got a stone for a pillow. Boy, that'll cause a nightmare for you. And he's having a dream. And God is speaking to him. Of course, they didn't have the whole Bible. God doesn't speak to us in dreams today. He did that. He said, I am going to give you all of this property, Jacob, and thy seed, 14, shall be as the dust of the earth. And he's making some great promises to him here. And it says in verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. No, he didn't know it. He didn't know much of anything spiritually. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow. and set it upon for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, doing all the religious stuff that he understood. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow. Be very careful about vowing vows. The Bible tells you this. You make a vow, don't pay it, you're in trouble with God. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Remember, he's running away from his dad. He's running away from his brother. He's running away from home, because he has to. He's going to be dead if he doesn't. Bring me to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now look at that prayer. Look at what he's saying here. He is totally, except for that last little 10% thing, he is totally self-absorbed. He has lived his whole 77 years that way. His mother taught him how to do it. So did his father. And so he says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and give me raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, if God will do all this for me, guess what? I'll give 10% back. He doesn't want 10%. He wants 100%. He doesn't want 10% of our money. He owns 100% of our money. He said, put the first 10% in the local church. And the offerings, he said, tithes and offerings. Okay, that's just a little bit of money. The only thing that really controls our money is our heart. This fella has a serious heart problem. And so he's running after all his scheming. And God, in his mercy, speaks to him. And he has this tremendous time with God. Well, how did that work out? Flip ahead, if you would, please, to chapter 32. Chapter 32 is 20 years later. And we read, and Jacob went on his way. Nothing has changed. He has spent 20 years being deceived by his uncle. He has spent 20 years deceiving his uncle. He is now on the run because in the middle of the night he got his family together. He has cleaned out Laban of everything he owns. He's running and he's trying to get away from him, and Laban's following him. He finally catches up to him after he didn't know he's gone for 3 days, and after 7 days he catches up to him. He says, what is this you've done? You've taken my children, you've taken my daughters. What are you doing? Well, I'm just doing what you do, deceiving you a little bit. He wasn't quite that honest, but that's what he was doing. He said, I haven't done anything. I'm just leaving. You've changed my salary my 10 times. You've lied to me. You've deceived me. Yeah, you get what you reap, Jacob. You're back there deceiving your brother. Now, you're going to get a little bit of that yourself. Well, you stole my gods, he said. He stole my gods. He did not steal his gods. His daughter stole his gods. Sweet thing. She stole his gods. What's he doing with gods? What's he doing with these images? Oh, you stole my gods? I'm checking it out. He goes running through the tents. Comes into Rachel's tent. She's sitting on a chest there. Oh, please don't make me get up. It's that time of the month for me. I don't want to get up, Daddy. Why? Because she's hiding the gods that she stole from her daddy in the chest she's sitting on. She's a liar. But then she's learned that from her daddy. She's learned that from her grandparents. They're all deceivers and liars. Well, he goes out and has a big fight. So here's the father-in-law and the son-in-law. They are fighting mad. And then they have this verse that we quote. It says, the Lord be between you and me while we're absent one from another. And we say that at church, so we come back together next time. We're going to have a good time. That's not what that verse is talking about. Read it. What it's saying is they made an oath that they would never speak to each other again, and God take care of you and God take care of me, and I don't ever want to see you again. How is it turning out there, Rebecca, with your scheme? 20 years later. And that's what this story is all about. Now he's coming back home, and he's got his father-in-law chasing him. They have a big row. And guess what? Chapter 32. Jacob went on his way. And verse 6 says, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him." This is not a very good day for Jacob. He's got his father-in-law and a bunch of guys coming after him on this side. He's got his brother, who he had deceived 20 years ago, coming with 400 men on this side, and he's in the middle. How is your have it my way scheme working out, Jacob? Not really very good. Not very good. Jacob, it says in verse 7, was greatly afraid and distressed. I suppose he should be. Verse 9, Jacob said, we got him praying again, at least. O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Oh, yeah, I remember that time back there at Bethel. I remember when I had that dream. I remember that ladder. I remember all this. Yeah, well, what have you been doing with it for the last 20 years? Nothing. Scheming. Having it his way while he pretended he was really serving God. But God is beginning to get a hold of this man's heart after 20 years. Look what he says in verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. I am not worthy. You told me 20 years ago that you would do this. And I'm not. God knows he's not worthy. Now, Jacob knows he's not worthy. And in verse 11, he says, Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Yeah, you should. Well, he lodged there that night. And this is not the story of Jacob's ladder. This is a story about Jacob's Lord. And there's a big difference between this meeting and the last one. He lodged there that night, verse 13. And it says here, again in verse 21, so went the present over before him and himself lodged that night. Now, what he has done, he's still scheming a bit here, and he's put together something that maybe I can bribe Esau so he won't kill us all. And he's got that plan together. And now he lodges there that night. And verse 22 says he arose up that night. And in verse 23 it says he took them, that's his wives, that he was concerned about his family now. We're all going to be dead in the morning if things turn out the way he thinks they are. And he sent them over the brook. And verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone. You know how often God is trying to get us to that place? You know how often we run away from it? Jacob was left alone. Oh, God, we haven't got time to be alone with God. Man, oh, we might rhyme off a few devotions and pray a prayer and read one of those verses we put on a card. No, God says, I want to be alone with you. I want to talk to you. Well, I can't right now. I got to watch the hockey game. Oh, I can't right now. I got to go do this for you. I can't right now. No, God says, I'd like to get you alone for a little while. Well, after 20 years of really, really serious heartache and stupidity, and the fact that he might be dead in a few hours because he's got problems on both sides of him, maybe I can get alone with God. Now, there's a good idea. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Now, you know this is Christ. You know the story. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Oh, my word. Things are changing for Jacob. He says back here in verse 10, I am not worthy. And he says, I'm not letting you go. It doesn't matter if my hip's hurting. I am not letting you go until you bless me. God is finally, after all these years, God is getting his heart. I wonder how many people sit in our fundamental independent Baptist churches for 20 years and God has never really got their heart. What is this a story of? It's death to self. Jacob, you schemer, you were scheming back there with your mommy when you were 77 years old. You were scheming against your father. You were scheming against your brother. You were scheming against your uncle. Your whole life is a mess. You're a schemer. Yeah, I know, he said. I got to change this. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Death to self. Death to self. You know, last week we sang that same song, hymn that we sang, Send Grief and Pain. I'm very sensitive that even what we sing in our services now, and it wasn't by chance, not at all by chance. I had no idea until 3 seconds before we sang that song we were going to sing it again. I didn't even realize we were singing it again until we got to that verse, Send Grief and Pain. I don't know about you, but I had a bit of grief and pain this last week. It's been a week of mountaintops. Oh, it looks good. Oh. Back and forth. That was Jacob's life. And the truth of the matter is, that's my life. And that's your life. Maybe not to the same degree, but we're all a bunch of schemers. What we need is death to self. And he's finally coming to this. And he said unto him, what is thy name? He said, my name is Jacob. Like God didn't know his name. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. He said, wow, this is the changing place. Jacob means schemer. Israel means prince of God. He said, things are changing. His whole life changed. Everything changed at that moment for Jacob. Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, what are you asking my name for? So that's a neat story. Verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place, Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Yeah, it is. It's changing. Here's the day where everything changes for Jacob. So how'd that happen? He was alone. But then he was altered. Look at verse 31. And he passed over Peniel. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. The halting Hebrew. He was altered. He was broken. He was blessed, but he was also branded. From that day on, what happened, Jacob? How'd you get that limb? Did you fall off your camel? No, I didn't fall off my camel. I met with God. God did a work in my heart. And he was branded. In fact, if you read the next verse, it says, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. All Israel knew, everywhere he went, Jacob told the story. Everywhere he went. He's changed now. He's not a schemer. Things are different now. Go ahead, please, to chapter 35. He has been through the mill. And God says to him here, and he's listening. Verse number one, God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. Go up, higher ground. Back to Bethel, back to the beginning. Now he's listening now. God's saying something, he's listening now. He said, right, okay. Make there an altar unto God that appeareth unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. He said, I want you to go back to the beginning where I first started talking to you 20 years ago. I want you to go back there and reconsider what happened. Back to Bethel. Now, how does that work? Look at his response to God. 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Number 1. Number 2. Be clean. Number three, and I find this interesting, change your garment. What's happening here? Well, finally, Dad's taking control. Oh, he had control of the scheming. He had control of the deceit. He had control of the lying. He had control of all that for 20 years and plus before. But now God's got control of him, and he is taking control of the situation. And he says, get rid of those strange gods right now. What is a strange god? It's anything that takes your time or your money. We might do well to go through our homes and through our lives and get rid of the strange gods. It's whatever is more important out there than the will of God. Oh, I did it my way. Yeah, he did do it his way for a long time. But it didn't turn out very good. It was just plain stupid to do that. There's God's way, and there's my way. And if I'm going to go my way, what do you think is going to happen here? Am I so stupid to think I can outsmart God? Isaac didn't, Rebecca didn't, Jacob didn't, Esau didn't. None of those people outsmarted God. It all ended in tragedy for him. Look at Samson. We did the same thing. Get rid of those strange gods. And be clean and change your garment and let us arise and go up to Bethel, going back where I came from. And he says in verse 5, an interesting thing. It says, they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Why? Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when you do things God's way, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. So here they are, walking through this violent territory where they should be getting attacked by all these people, because they've attacked them, Israel has. They're just traveling through. Why? Provisions of God when you do it his way. It's a better deal. It's a much better deal. Joseph, as I said, is the best example you'll find of how to live the Christian life, I think, in the Bible, other than Jesus. But his tests began at home. Before the pit or the prison or Potiphar's wife or Pharaoh or being prime minister of the whole country, before any of that, the tests began with his parents. In Joseph's formative years, he was surrounded by rape, murder, incest, treachery, lies, deceit, idolatry, jealousy, death, hatred, and disloyalty. That's the kind of family he lived in with his brothers and his parents. Jacob, who is Joseph's father, was married to Rachel. And you know the story. He saw Rachel and said, oh, she's beautiful. I want her. Well, you serve 7 years, you can have. Oh, okay. 7 years he served for beautiful Rachel. Well, they have their ceremony as they do, and they go into their tent as they do, and in the morning, Leah says, good morning. What's this? It's the ugly sister. I had a deal for Rachel. And he got Leah. Oh, yeah. You reap what you sow, Jacob. You're going to scheme? You're going to be schemed against? He goes to his father-in-law, this is not our deal. So he confronts Laban, and he says, well, you can have the other one. 7 more years. Well, whatever it takes. So now he's married to sisters. Two sisters. One he loves. One he got stuck with. Now, what kind of a situation is that going to be every day? Not really good. And the Bible plainly tells us that Jacob clearly loved Rachel more than Leah. So the stage is set for jealousy, bitterness, anger. And Leah gives Jacob 4 sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And Rachel is very unhappy because she is barren. And that was a reproach to a Jewish woman. Above all reproaches. She was barren. Well, like she's been taught well by her silly family, she gives Jacob her handmaid, Bilhah, to have children in her place. And Bilhah has 2 sons, Dan and Naphtali. Well, by this time, Leah's womb is closed, and God is not blessing her with any more children, and she's getting ticked because her sister's having kids now. So Leah gives her handmaid, Zilpha, to Jacob to have children for her, and she has two sons, Gad and Asher. What kind of a home is this? After a time, Leah starts having children again, and she has three more children by Jacob, Issachar, Zebulun, and a girl, Diana. Now Jacob has 10 sons and a daughter, but there's no Joseph yet. Rachel is still barren. And Rachel does a good thing. She prays. Oh, that's always a good idea. She prays for a son, and Joseph is born by Rachel. So Joseph was the 11th son born to Jacob. Reuben was number one. So he's got this whole string of absolute dipstick brothers that he's born into that family. You just study their life. So Joseph's father has had children by four women. They're all living together. One big, I guess, a happy family. They're not happy about this family. The father openly loved Rachel more than any of them. The rest of them were basically baby machines. What kind of a home life is this? Not real good. Oh, Rebecca, is this what you thought was going to happen when you were scheming against Isaac? Well, it's what happened. Well, finally, after all these years of fighting with Laban and he schemes a way to get everything out of him financially, and Joseph is very young at this time, and hey, Joseph, wake up. We got to leave. In the middle of the night, make a hasty departure from his grandpa Laban's house with all his grandpa's stuff. Well, Dad has just cleaned out grandpa through deception, and Joseph has seen that, and grandpa accuses, after chasing him down and they have a big fight, he accuses Joseph's dad of stealing his household gods, and his dad denies it, and Joseph listens to his mother lie. It's not a very good situation to bring up a child. She's a thief and she's a liar. Oh, they're all God's people. They're all going to their fundamental meetings every week. Joseph's mother, despicable. Dad and grandpa have a great quarrel, and the covenant is made to stay away from each other, and grandpa departs, and Joseph never sees his grandfather again. Oh, there's the other problem. Joseph's uncle Esau is coming with 400 men to get even for 20 years ago. So Dad, what's he doing now? Joseph watched Dad scheming on how he can maybe appease Uncle Esau. Joseph watches his dad in another scheme to try and bribe his Uncle Esau. And this is all during his formative years. Oh, there's a couple other situations going on. Diana, his older sister, was raped. So Joseph's two brothers, Simeon and Levi, they said, well, that's not very good to do that to our sister. So they go into the town where this happened. And they said, now, if we're going to be exchanging wives and stuff, that's a great idea. Let's do that. You guys all got to be circumcised. Oh, okay, that's a good deal. So when they got them all circumcised and they couldn't possibly move, they came in and killed every man in the city. Killed them all. Joseph's watching all this. Joseph's dad, his only concern about that situation was his reputation. Did nothing to fix it. Well, Joseph's mother died while giving birth to his little brother Benjamin. Joseph's older brother Reuben commits incest with his father's concubine. And Joseph's dad, Jacob, knows all about it, but does, like usual, does nothing about straightening out those boys, nothing. Joseph's other grandfather died and was buried, and Joseph's older brother, all of them were wicked and self-centered men. Jacob allowed his children to do whatever they pleased and did nothing to correct them. And in the middle of all that, he was guilty of favoritism. Oh, yeah, I like Rachel. She's my favorite. Oh, yeah, I like Joseph. He's my favorite. Well, that created a lot of problems for Joseph and everybody else. As you'll see, they end up selling them and throwing them in a pit. They really wanted to kill him. Joseph was uprooted and moved at a young age. He had no stability. He was surrounded by rape and murder and incest and treachery and idolatry and jealousy and death and hatred. He is in a very negative, hostile environment. But God had plans for Joseph. And all of those plans stood on how he passed the test at home, because that's where all the first tests started. And I don't think there's many people in this world that has that kind of home life. But you young people, you listen to me. You don't pass the test at home, you miss it. God, in His wisdom, has put us where He wants us. And I'll tell you this. The more that God has a blessing for someone, like you'll find out Joseph and how the story goes on, the more that He had the blessing for Joseph, the more and the bigger the tests were at home. Is there anything positive in this story? Yeah. I said I wanted to get a story that I want to start on something that was positive. I got into this. I said, there's nothing positive about this. Yes, there is. And we saw it a little bit. Joseph, dad, Jacob prayed. And he had that life-changing encounter with God. And he became the halting Hebrew, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means Prince with God. He had a new name and a new walk and a new life. And he comes back to Bethel, and he comes back to where everything first started. Is it still the same? Or maybe even scheming a little bit. God's way, my way. God's will, my will. Death to self, I want what I want. God, don't you interfere with it. It worked out very good for these people. There's not one of us in this room, and there's no Christian in this world, including the one up here, that doesn't have a problem with this. I want my way. That's just the old nature. Well, God calls Jacob to come back to Bethel. Jacob demands his family get rid of the false gods. We're worshiping God alone. He built an altar there to worship the Lord, and young Joseph will never forget what he saw there. Ever. Your past should never be allowed to define you. He said at the end of the story, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. He wasn't bragging. He said, you sold me into Egypt. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What are you going through? Nothing like Joseph went through, I guarantee you. And the devil may mean it for evil, and God can mean it for good. I have learned, and I'm still trying to learn, that as the situations of life come along, that I can't change. All I can do is say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And I believe that's all Joseph ever did through all of this. God called Abraham, Abraham, Genesis 22. He said, here am I. He called Jacob, Jacob. And finally, he said, here am I. He called Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. He called Samuel three times, and Samuel said, here am I. Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Joseph? Joseph. Yeah. I am Joseph. I am Bob. You can put your name there. You are whoever you are, but you're not here by accident. Passing God's wisely sent test with his parents, with his peers, in the pit, in the prison, and in the palace. It didn't matter where he was. All the different tests were there. Totally different in the palace than it was at home. But he passed them all. And that's all God wants. From you and from me. Here am I, Lord. What did Abraham say that? When God said, I want you to take that knife and plunge it into the heart of your only son. He said, yeah, here I am. And then God called, Abraham, Abraham. He said, I'm still here. There's a ram over here. You don't need to use the boy. If we could just get it in our dumb heads that God's plan is better. He will never, ever, ever, ever do anything to hurt us. the end of your life, you're going to either sing the stupid song that Frank Sinatra sang, "I did it my way," or you're going to say, "I did it God's way." Jacob spent 20 years doing it his way. What a waste. Decide today. Today. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my life. Man, I don't know what you're doing in mine either. It just never stops. When it stops, I'll be dead. I just want to get to the end and say, I did it God's way. I did God's way. The devil has his way. God will list more about my stupidity than he did Jacob. If the devil has his way. I hope that doesn't work out that way. Let's pray.